Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Coco and Daltz podcast. Coco is already looking at me askance, and we are barely 15 seconds into the podcast.
So if this is how I'm looking, imagine how our listener is looking.
No, they're looking entertained, however that looks. I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Daltz.
So this week, what are we talking about, Coco?
This week, we are talking about Border Town.
Won't you take me to
da, da, da.
Border Town?
Da, da, da.
Won't you take me to
da, da, da.
Border Town?
That was not the theme song for Border Town, which is a Finnish detective show. It's three seasons. Each season is 10 or 11 episodes. The season three just wrapped up. It was released
just a minute ago, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was released on Netflix a week ago, if you're listening to this in real time. It took us, we decided to watch all three seasons in a week.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah, I would not recommend doing that. Not that I'm saying I don't recommend the series. I'm just saying that 30 hours of one show in about a 9-day span is quite a bit.
If you could see my bloodshot eyes, listener, you would know why.
So, like I said, it's a detective series set in Finland. So we watched it in the original Finnish, but obviously you can watch it with subtitles. It's about a...
And without subtitles. We just translated it in our minds.
That's true. It's about a guy who is pretty much autistic. He's a savant. He solves all the crazy crimes. He and his family move from the Finnish capital of Helsinki to a little town close to the Russian border. I shouldn't say little town. Lapinranta is probably about like 85,000 people.
Lapinranta.
That's not how you say it.
Lapinranta.
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 In Finnish, the emphasis is on the first syllable.
First syllable?
Yes.
Yes.
So he moves from Helsinki to Lapinranta, and the series just revolves around him, the major crimes unit in Lapinranta, and the other detectives therein, a lady named Lena, another guy named Nico, the head of the unit for the first two seasons. Her name is Tina. Then she moves to Helsinki in the third season. Yeah, it's some crazy crimes.
And it's 10 episodes, like you said, or 11, and they are two-parters usually.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes three.
Sometimes three, sometimes one-parter.
And each episode is actually an hour.
It's a solid hour.
It's not like American TV where an hour is 42 minutes. Like, right. No, this is actually an hour.
Yep.
So
book an hour if you're going to go for this.
So we literally watched 30 hours of TV in the past week.
Solid 30 hours.
Yeah, it's not like we watched about like 22 hours, which would be a lot anyways.
And then we're rounding it up to sound impressive. This was actually 30 hours.
This was actually 30 hours.
My bum is numb.
And they're kind of crazy crimes too. It's not just like your run-of-the-mill domestic violence or embezzlement or something. It's a lady is in a fish trap in the bottom of a lake, and they have to figure out why she got there.
With a hose so she can breathe.
Right. She's not dead. She's actually still alive.
Talk about claustrophobic.
Right. Totally. So, that's a pretty crude summary of the series. Daltz, what did you think?
I would agree with your summary, as I agree with all things that you say, Coco. I would
not
say,
true.
Yes, the detective was sort of like a Rain Man kind of Forrest Gumpish character, where he just had very low social skills, but he had some sort of telepathy thing that he was going on. He would step into the memory mansion and solve these crimes by separating memories into categories and rooms and that sort of thing, and putting photos on boards and trying to identify who is connected to whom and what the reason for the commonalities were in victims and that sort of thing.
I should mention he also had a wife and a daughter,
right.
And the wife had brain cancer,
right.
And that was a recurring theme over at least the first and the very beginning of the third season. So
let's start with pros.
Okay.
Because I'm upbeat.
Okay.
Because
you're happy that it's over.
let's start with serious pros.
Okay.
Serious pros was I thought that the lead character, who is Kari, the detective, I thought he was really well done. He was very elaborate. He had some gestures and he had some mannerisms that I thought were interesting that I'm sure he developed as the actor into the character whenever he was trying to solve a crime. He, to me, he's a central character, obviously. Actually, in Finnish, the name of the show is his surname. So it's all about him. Saroninen?
Sorjonen.
Thank you. And he was great. And I thought overall the acting, now I don't know, maybe Helsinki is the Hollywood of Finland.
I would imagine that's probably the case.
That's probably the case because it's the largest city. I don't want to be, you know, all culturally ignorant or anything like that.
But I mean, maybe Tampere is like the Hollywood of Finland. I don't know.
What we forgot to mention is that Coco actually lived in Finland for a time.
So I have a rudimentary grasp of Finnish pronunciation and
geography. So that's why
she's
correcting me on all the pronunciations, because she's right.
And our Finnish listener is probably going to be like, no, you're saying it incorrectly, actually.
Well, I know some Finnish people, so...
That's true. You can...
So I can drop their, you know, some knowledge in there. But I thought the lead character was fantastic. The peripheral characters were pretty good. So you got a hard-ass woman detective who spent some time in Russia and has trying to raise a daughter. And she was, I really liked her character. That was Lena. And then Nico, who was the, as we called him while watching it, he was the Finnish Jake Gyllenhaal, because he looked just like Jake Gyllenhaal. But he was a really likable character. But he goes through some things too and some issues and becomes... eventually rises to a level of power. What I was saying was the other actors in this were all very good. Like I didn't see anybody acting.
Right.
Which, and sometimes when you go into a production such as this and you don't know any of the actors, it's pretty easy to be like, well, that guy's clearly not that. He's acting. But that was really well done. The storylines were all original, like you said. So there's the lady in the cage and the... And what I really noticed in this series, and maybe this is a European, Scandinavian thing, the women were the central figures in this story in a lot of ways. So he's the, Kari is the lead detective guy figuring it out. But a lot of times, the women were the central figure. So in the first two seasons, the chief of police was a woman. But also some of the characters who were the bad guys were women. Mm-hmm. So the pedophile in one episode was a woman. The sniper in one episode was a woman. And so there were a lot of the bad guys were women in this, which I thought was a really good balance, because sometimes you say, well, in order to be politically correct, we have to show that women are in charge but women are in, you know, some women are capable of doing bad things too. And I thought that was a really good balance there, rather than always make the guys the bad guys and make the women the good guys.
And that really came into play in the episode where the lady was the sniper, because... You know, it's a two-part episode, and pretty much until halfway through the second episode, they kept referring to the sniper as he.
Yep.
Because that's what it normally is.
It's usually what it is, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so then once they figured out it was a she, then, you know, things got more on the right track. They were able to do more figuring out.
But. And there were a lot of it, so there's 30 hours of TV and roughly 15 episodes, I guess, or 15 stories. Mm-hmm. And you could say that probably about half of them involved a woman who was the bad guy or the central figure of that particular episode. And so I thought that was very interesting, very well done. The writing was really well done. The dialogue was really well done. The acting was really well done. So I liked all of that. Mm-hmm. I think, so now let's go to your pros before I prejudice the jury.
Well, I agree with you about the acting. I actually, in some ways, enjoyed the supporting cast more than I enjoyed the main character.
Oh, you didn't like Rain Man detective guy?
I did like him. I thought Anu Sinisalo, who played Lena, I thought she was like the rock star.
She was great.
Of this. Like,
yeah,
and
she was great.
And the woman who played her adopted daughter, whose name in the show is Katia, but whose real name is Lenita Susie.
Look at you dropping the names without even looking at the notes, the show notes. You're not looking at the show notes at all.
I didn't show up to prep today.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
like finished by, you know, association. So,
okay.
So I thought they were both great. Mm-hmm. They were both, mm-hmm. they could have been very one note. Unsympathetic characters,
right.
But they were both, they were able to show like the hurt underneath the hard exterior.
And we should say that the series starts with their stories.
Uh-huh. And they, I thought they did a really good job also, and this goes back to the writer as well, of showing a very, like, I thought all the relationships in this show were shown like very realistically.
Yep.
But I thought their relationship especially captured like what it's like when you don't especially have a fantastic mother-daughter relationship.
Oh yeah.
Because like Sorjonen's wife was, she had depth to her as well, but she was more of like the stereotypical depiction of a mother in pop culture, who's like the kind of saintly, angelic.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a Brady Bunch mom.
Right, totally. Whereas, you know, the Katia Elena relationship was not like that at all. Mm-hmm. It was very much headbutting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they really didn't get along. But when they didn't get along, it was because, you know, they loved each other, but they don't really know how to express it.
Right.
So I thought those characters could have been very one-note and unsympathetic, mm-hmm. but they did a really good job of kind of showing all the facets of it. Like, I would totally watch a spinoff of Lena just going to Poland and like trying to find the Russian gangsters laundering money.
She was badass. Yeah, I mean, she had no hesitation. She had no compunctions whatsoever. Like, she needed to get something done. She would do it, and she would...
And she's like,
interrogate a guy or whatever.
And she's like, if I have to go hide out in like a Russian cabin and like drink shots for, you know, 6 months, then okay.
To lay low.
I'll do it. So I liked Nico as well. Mm-hmm. I liked his progression from the first season, like the first, you know, couple episodes.
He finished Jake Gyllenhaal.
When they were, Ilka Vili.
Look at you.
When they were kind of teasing him because he was trying to get on this major crimes team. And they were like, well, you know, his parents are bigwigs and he's just a pencil pusher. And he was like, no, I really want to be on the team. And, you know, so he kind of progressed.
He said it in that voice, too.
He totally did. From that to, like, in the third season, he ended up taking over the unit. And you could kind of see how now he's back to being a pencil pusher and he's not in the field.
And he's not happy about it.
And he's not happy about it. And maybe there's a little bit of an allusion to the fact that he's a little too reliant on his painkillers after he got shot in the second season finale. Mm-hmm. But you can also see in the character, like in his wardrobe, like he's grown out his hair, so he doesn't have the buzz cut. And now he's not just wearing a hoodie and skinny jeans.
Now,
like,
did you prefer him with shorter hair or with the bouffant in charge hair?
I like the bouffant.
Did you really?
I did like the bouffant.
When I first saw him in the start of the season three, I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that look. Because he kind of looked a little bit, you know, blow-dried to me.
Yeah, he did.
But eventually it grew on me, and it was like, maybe you need to be more hair. You know, it's like a Samson thing. You're stronger with more hair. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then the other supporting cast members, I thought they were great too. And like I said, I thought like all the relationships were shown.
They were realistic.
They were very realistic.
Yeah. So the parents, we should talk about so Kari and his wife, who has the brain tumor, like you said, and she gets involved with the mayor, not involved, but like it's an old boyfriend, but not that kind of involved. She takes a job because they've moved to this remote place. So originally Kari and his family were in Helsinki and then they relocated to
Lappeenranta.
And then when they did,
That's her hometown. That's where she's from.
And she wants to move back to her hometown. Yeah, and they were trying to make things mellow, and Kari was spending too much time at work, and golly gosh, it'll be a lot more peaceful if we move out into the suburbs.
Except, as normally happens, even though Finland has a very low murder rate, now suddenly over 30 hours of TV, there's just like body...
Oh, the body count was... Right. So that was one of the... If you're done with your pros, I want to go to the cons.
Yeah, sure.
So the cons for me, the 2 hour episodes very easily could have been an hour and a half. So 45 minutes each or something like that. They could have compacted them a little bit. And the other thing that I was noticing is that everybody involved in this show has somebody die, which I'm not sure that's really happening in Lappeenranta.
Lappeenranta.
I don't think it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't think people are dying left and right. Like the coroner guy, who was one of the good characters, he was a solid character.
I liked him. Yeah.
He must have been like, Kari, what are you doing bringing all this business to me? Like, I'm used to like somebody falling on the ice and then I got to look at their dislocated hip as I, you know.
And they did in one of the seasons, which are all kind of blending together because we watched so much of it.
30 like, hours.
Yeah. In one of the seasons, somebody did make a joke about how, oh, you brought like all the crime from the big city to our little town. You know, like the Nordic noir shows always have to do that because there's no murder in any of these countries. But, you know, in these shows, suddenly, you know, people are dying left and right. So they have to be like, yeah, this isn't realistic. We need to address this.
Well, it's like we were looking at the Valhalla murders in Iceland and there's like a slaughterhouse compared to the usual murder rate. And it's sort of the same thing in the case of Finland. Like Finland is a very peaceful country. And I started looking at the same numbers, having discovered this about Iceland with the last series we watched, similar, the last Scandi noir, Nordic noir. And we found the same sort of thing about Finland, is that the murder rate is typically about one for every 100,000 people or something like that. So, which is a typical worldwide Western country murder rate. But there's more than one per... Like Lappeenranta...
Lappeenranta.
Was 100,000 people, do you think?
tops.
And how many murders did we see in this town?
Yeah, we saw quite a
few. Like probably 20.
I mean, if you include like the surrounding areas, that maybe might throw it off a little bit. Like, you know, you throw Kovala in there or whatever. But
look at you throwing that stuff out there.
I lived in Kovala, so I know Kovala.
You're way fancier than I ever will be.
Yeah.
I aspire to your fanciness.
Stop. Can we just stop recording right now and just cut that part out?
So cons for you, Coco.
Yeah, so the cons were, I'm completely...
Do you have any?
Yeah, there were a couple that I was going to say. And okay, so one big con was I did not like the characterization of the daughter in the third season.
Oh, Kari's daughter.
Yeah, I felt like they kind of didn't know what to do with her after the first season. Because in the first season, like, you know, whatever, she's the kid. So she's a teenager. So she's going to school and she's going to clubs and she's got her boyfriend.
Restless and she's growing up.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But then like
hormones.
In the second season, suddenly they were just kind of like, okay, well, she's out of school. So what do we do with her? So we're going to give her a job in a restaurant that there's like a 3-minute scene of her eating lunch with her mom in. And then we never talk about it again. So basically we only gave her that job to establish that restaurant as a location of significance in a future episode.
Yes.
And then suddenly she also is writing music. I'm like, well, they don't even have a piano in their house. So how is she even doing that? Yeah. Like
she doesn't have a keyboard in a room or anything like that.
Like she's expressed no interest in music whatsoever.
Right. And all of a sudden she's the Finnish Adele.
Right. Totally. And, yeah, so in the second season, they kind of didn't really know what to do with her. And then in the third season, she just went completely off the rails. Because
her mother died.
Because her mom died. Yeah. And she had been held...
Spoiler.
She had been held hostage at the end of the second season. And also her boyfriend got shot right next to her in the second season. So I understand that this is a person who's had a whole lot of trauma happen to her in a very short amount of time. But she just turned into an a-hole.
Yeah.
Like she was a huge, huge a-hole.
Yeah.
And props to Olivia Einoli for making
me that's how you pronounce it
for making me hate her in the third season.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just such a huge a-hole and I was just like, please get her off the screen. Like she killed a dog,
right?
Like,
so I was with you on that. I forgot about that as a con because mm-hmm. the storyline with her in the third season didn't do anything for me at all. She was torturing this poor guy who ended up lashing out and became sort of a victim in some ways.
Yeah.
In a situation that on the surface would make her look like the victim. And she was a total a-hole. You're right. I could have done with... So here's where I'm going with that, shortening some of the episodes. I could have just lost that storyline entirely. Like the mother with the brain cancer and her coming back... Like in Tukari and Visions and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
That was fine to me. Yeah. And you had to establish some sort of relationship there.
And they didn't overdo that. It was like just a couple minutes per episode.
They didn't overdo it. They could have very much overdone it.
Yeah.
But I see what needs to happen there with the daughters. Like your mother dies. You're very close to your mother because your dad's always at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I understood why they had to do something like her going off the rails. But it just seemed... It was painful to watch. Like it was like, can we just get to the mass murderer part? Like, I don't want to see her torture this poor teenage guy anymore.
And then, like, finally at the... So each episode is like, you know, each episode is half of, you know, a two-parter. And then at the end of episode 8, her storyline finally got resolved. Like, they finally figured out what's going on with her and everything. But then in the last two episodes, there was no mention of she's going to therapy.
Right.
Like, she's trying to work out these problems.
She kind of disappeared.
She just suddenly turned into, like, happy, smiley Janina from the first season. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is not realistic whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I...
Maybe they're going for season 4 resolution or something like that. But
right. Well, so I didn't enjoy the daughter's storyline in season 3 at all. The other thing that really annoyed me was, and they didn't do this so much on season 3. I thought season 3 was a rebound from season 2, which kind of like also went off the rails for me a little bit. But everything, like Kari's family... was always involved in his cases.
Yes.
So like the second season finale involved his family being held hostage.
Yes.
And then, like I said, Janina's boyfriend got shot and killed by the lady sniper in one of the other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have to kill him off. Like
And he was part of this family that was also involved with the mayor and the business and everything, which was like a side story that never really fully developed as far as I was concerned.
Yeah. So there were... Yeah, and that was actually another con for me, really, is that there were a lot of things that they built up and then just kind of fell flat or were never explained.
Yeah,
the boyfriend, you know, Kari said to Janina, oh, you know, I'm going to investigate why he was one of the victims, and maybe you might not like the direction this is going. And then that just completely dropped off. Like, there was no, and they didn't have to kill the boyfriend off. I liked that character.
Yeah,
that
he was a good character.
He could have been really interesting in season three.
He was a much more interesting boyfriend than season three boyfriend.
Yeah, the poor boyfriend who was tortured, being interrogated and tortured and, like, friggin' waterboarded by Janina. Like, Yeah,
so he was not interesting at all. Whereas the photographer boyfriend from season one and two, or season two, was a much more interesting character. But he had a connection to the family, like I said, so they had to kill him off. I completely agree, and that was actually a con that I forgot to mention, is that it seems like everybody who was killed was connected to some of the lead characters. Like, I shouldn't say that. There was always a connection to the main characters. Nico was the only guy, only character, I think, that didn't have anything, because Lena had the daughter who was involved with the sex thing at the beginning of the series that got her into the force. And then, like you said, Kari's family was embroiled constantly in this.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was the irony of, intended irony of the show, is that he moves away from Helsinki to get away from his job and spend more time with the family. But actually, the job spends more time with his family than he does.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, there's kidnappers and there's murder and there's...
And they're constantly, like, witnessing stuff. Right. Or, you know, yeah, I mean, it was just...
It was unrealistic, too. That, to me, it was like, this is a small circle of influence here, and, like, everything is happening to these people.
Right.
In this little small city.
And I even said to Daltz at, I believe it was, like, the first few minutes of one of the very early episodes in season two, maybe the season two premiere, this lady gets shot, and the last thing that happens before she gets shot, she's in her car, and like, Kari's wife calls her,
right,
you know, she just lets it go to voicemail or whatever, and I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yet another.
That, like, oh, somehow the Sorjonen family is embroiled in another murder investigation that, so I was, that was a huge con for me. They more laid off of that in season three, I felt like, but it was still just like, La Peñaranta is not a town of 3,000.
Like, right. You know? Well, and they were treating it very much like it was a very small town, and it wasn't. Like, oh, you know this person, you know that person. No, I've talked to this person. Oh, I've related to that person. It seemed like it was a lot smaller. Maybe that was the intention. There's like, we're all part of a global community. I don't know what the underlying message was there, but it seemed like it was just too coincidental for... Especially this family that had just moved there. Like, I know that the mom had some connections to it, but really? I mean, are we really going there?
Yeah. So those are my major cons.
So here's the lessons I've learned from this show. So if you were to watch a show like this, which I'm fascinated by watching foreign series like this, because subtitles, so I'm always catching the dialogue. I'm not turning to Coco and saying, what did he say? Because he's like mumbling off camera or something like that. So I'm always able to catch the dialogue. So that's one reason I like these. The second reason I like these is because you get to see another culture.
Right.
And you get to see not only the scenery and the landscape and the beautiful cities and different places that I've never been, because I'm not a world traveler like Coco. and get an insight into another culture. So I love that kind of thing. But what I learned from this, so what I've learned stereotypically from this series, so if I was not to know anything about Finland at all and then watch this show,
you would think that it's just like a Holocaust.
It's just like murder capital of Scandinavia. So I do know some Finnish people. So hello to all my Finnish friends out there. But here's what I learned from this series and what I can stereotype as Finland.
Oh, okay.
Finland, everybody there wears muted colors. So all black, gray, you know, very washed out, very monochromatic. I didn't see a lot of purples or pinks or anything like that. People didn't have bright colors there.
Right.
The second thing is people wear their winter coats indoors all the time.
Which
and
you
sweaters
be,
and
which
puff
you should
jackets.
Be used to, because I'm always cold. So
I thought it was just you.
My winter.
I thought that's why this series was made for you, because they always like, I'm sitting beside you as you're watching the show, and you have your coat on, and we're watching the show indoors,
and
then I look
May.
Up on the screen, and there's people with their coats on indoors. So this is a connection. Very beautiful, beautiful architecture in Finland. All the houses were immaculate, all glass, all wide open spaces, all chrome, all wood. Like, I'm sure that's not the way it is. I'm sure there's like rundown, you know, slums somewhere. We didn't see any of that. It was all fantastic. And the other thing that I noticed, that is, this is my last point on Finnish culture that I surmised from this series is the cars all the doors shut. You know, like that satisfying sound when a door shuts and it locks the sound out completely and you're just airtight. You're looking at me strange. So you don't understand this, but it's a thing that you can have with a car. Is you shut the door and it just is like your own in your own little world. And every scene when there was a door closed, it was airtight. So these are the things I surmised about Finland that I'm going to take with me. And so next time I talk to my Finnish friends, I'll be like, what's up with the murder in your beautiful country? And you would love to have dark clothes on or whatever.
That is a thing in Finland. They do wear the same outfit several days in a row. It's not strange.
And really?
I did notice that, especially after Kari's wife died, was that he was just wearing the same shirt for like 5 episodes in a row.
So you noticed that when you were there?
Yeah.
Tell us other things, Coco, that you noticed that might not have jived.
I don't know.
If there's nothing, then there's nothing. But
yeah, I don't think so.
But did you see any murders when you were over there?
I did not, know.
No.
But I also am not a fluent Finnish speaker, and I didn't watch like the Finnish evening news or anything. So like the Finnish David Muir is talking about like the body found in the wood chipper in Lappeenranta, you know, and then the poisoning from the nerve
agent.
There
were some pretty nasty. So that's another thing about this, like not a pro or a con, just an observation, is there were some nasty deaths in this movie and graphic. Yeah. So, and there's also some sex in this. So like you're not watching this with your grandma.
This is not like what you would see on ABC at 8 o'clock.
No,
this is HBO.
The Finnish ABC, it would be FBC, I guess. I don't know. Is like, they don't care. And the kids are drinking wine and they're 17 and they're having sex in the bedroom upstairs in their own house and their dad's downstairs. Like there's a lot of, you know, I'm a liberal guy and everything like that, free-minded and everything like that. But some things I don't think I could put up with. So just be prepared for that kind of thing, listener, because there's a lot of non-North American cultural differences there.
I always forget that the U.S. has like really virginal TV until I watch something from somewhere else.
Right.
Like when I lived in the UK, because
look at
I've,
you
I've lived everywhere.
Your place names.
I watched
I've
this,
lived nowhere.
I watched this movie that said, you know, viewer discretion advised, like there's some strong language. Well, they dropped like 2 F-bombs and a BS, but oh, they showed the naked women having sex. And
there
was there was nothing about that. And
yeah.
I was like, oh goodness. You know, and then I was like, well, yeah, I'm not in America. So there you go. Nobody cares about sex anywhere else.
I should say, I said that I've never lived anywhere else. When I was living in Ottawa, which borders, of course, Quebec, I used to watch French TV all the time.
Oh, wow. There were just schlongs everywhere.
Well, so yeah, there's all like, and there's no warning whatsoever. And it's like 8 o'clock in the evening and you're like, I think I'll sit down for a nice movie. And oh my gosh, there's frontal nudity by a man who has not shaved in recently.
They did. That was a thing at the beginning of Border Town, the first few episodes. They spent a lot of time in the morgue with the coroner, and the body was just lying there, and you could see everything. And there were male parts. And
there
I was
not prosthetics, I don't think.
I was like, all right, rock and roll. We're getting male nudity in
here's
addition
some
to
equality.
The ladies.
Yeah, here's some equality for you.
Yeah, because especially the first couple episodes, The Doll's House.
Yes.
It's about teenage prostitutes. So you see a whole lot of TNA from, you know, 17-year-old girls.
Be prepared, listener.
Yeah.
So overall, Coco, worth a watch, or would you say recommend one of 3 seasons? Or
I would say watch all 3 seasons, mm-hmm. just not in 1 week like we did.
Because you might go homicidal.
Like space it out for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd give it like 1.5 bullets up.
So maybe like watch a season and then watch Dumb and Dumber or something like that? Like a
no.
palate cleanser?
No, no, not Dumb and Dumber. Never Dumb and Dumber.
Or Airplane?
What about you? What do you recommend?
I would say that I liked it. I think it's worthwhile. But yes, I think that this would be a better series to watch in the traditional TV format. So 1 week at a time.
Because
there's enough suspense between each of the connected episodes that you're like, oh, I got to know what's happening.
Yeah.
This one is hard on the binge watching factor because I think it just wears you down eventually.
Yeah.
But the quality of the series was very good, very high.
Yeah. I would say it's probably a really good binge watch for quarantine, when you got nothing else to do,
right? In regular times, not so much.
Yeah, in regular times, perhaps not, but
whatever
those
are.
Are we ever going to go back to those ever again?
Regular times, yes. So I would give it how many
I gave it like 1.5 bullets up.
1.5 bullets up. I would give it, I would give it 1.5 frozen cadavers up.
Right. 1.5 severed limbs
right.
up.
There's two. Yes, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth as usual. So overall, a recommended watch, but caveat recommended.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And this was our 60th episode, we should mention. So,
buried the lead right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, totes. So
we need new music. Is there new music playing underneath us? Or
no.
Like birthday music or something like that?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
But if you have anything if you want to recommend some new music for
us,
let us know. If you want to recommend something for us to watch and review, let us know. Our email is cocoanddaltz@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at cocoanddaltz. And you can also find us on the web at cocoanddaltz.com. And is spelled out. It is not the ampersand. cocoanddaltz.com.
And when you go to cocoanddaltz.com, go to the homepage and find that PayPal button and contribute. Hit it and send in some cash.
Yes, please support our podcast.
We
want to keep making podcasts for you. So that's why we also want to know what you want to hear. Because if we can know what you want to hear, then we can do more of it.
Never has this been truer, but we are nothing without you, listener.
That is very true. And we actually do have Swedish listeners. We found this out when we looked at our Google Analytics.
Demographics, yes, we do.
If anybody is in Finland and listening to this, please tweet us out and share us with your Finnish friends, and please don't make fun of us for our Finnish pronunciation.
Please don't. Well, you can make fun of me. Don't make fun of Coco, because she'll take it personally, because she lived there for 6 to 8 months, I think it was.
It was like 6 months.
6 months? Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was August through the holidays. So yeah.
We need to have a separate podcast about that.
No, we really don't. Nah, not so much. If we do, we should get Keith on here, and Keith and I could reminisce about our good times. And
so when Keith was over there in Finland, did somebody like say his name is Kitos?
K-O.
Kiitos. Kiitos.
Kiitos.
So kiitos is Finnish for thank you, by the way.
Kiitoksia.
Oh, look at you. Dropping
uh-huh.
all that. I got to get out of here. I got to get into my Finnish dictionary. So for another episode of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Dalt.